chapter 11, I'm going to read verse 30 to 40. I don't think we're going to get all this done today. I have 4 points. I'll be happy if I get done too. All right, follow along as we continue in the Hall of Faith chapter, verse 30. I begin, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, and of Japheth, of David, also and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Let's pray. Father, we ask the Holy Spirit be our teacher and illuminate the truths of this passage to our hearts and help us to apply what we learn that we might grow in our faith. We recognize as we read this chapter that Christians and those that love you down through the ages have been persecuted for their faith. God, help us that if today should come that we would need to suffer persecution for our faith, that we would be willing, O God. We know that is a difficult prayer, but Lord, we want to stand faithful for Jesus Christ. Oh, help us, we pray. Hide me behind the cross. May Christ, your Lord, have his way in our hearts, for we ask it in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Persecution of the church is on the rise in the values and the morals upon which we believe. Things even in our country are getting worse and worse. Some of you might have heard that California State Assembly passed a new resolution, ARC-99, this week telling pastors they must affirm homosexuality. Not, we suggest it. And they will admonish anyone who does not affirm and approve of the homosexual lifestyle and the transgender people. See, they aim at telling the religious leaders in California what they should preach from their pulpits. Yes, you heard me. You said, well, what about separation of church and state? Apparently, that high impenetrable wall is coming down when it comes to the subject matter that we're talking about. The measure will now head to the state senate for final approval, and I would ask all of us to pray it doesn't. Because what happens to California usually comes to New York, then spreads across the rest of the land. So how many of you will make a conscious effort to pray that this gets turned down? Appreciate that. The day may come that we get a notice from our representative that we can't say this or can't say that. And that will be the day that we'll be asked to choose who we will serve. More than 24 doctors, counselors, even formal homosexuals, and other Christian leaders got together. They signed a letter, condemned the resolution, and said it violated our religious freedom, and it does. They want to label it as hate speech. You'll never hear that from this pulpit. We're to love all people, for all have sinned. But we have to be mindful of the fact that God will not honor compromise when it comes to sin. Mr. Gadnam said, you know, we have a track record. We have actual patients and clients who have benefited from therapy to help them with their unwanted desires. Now, this is the people's choice. It's not being forced upon them. And let me tell you this, Jesus Christ can deliver you from anything. Amen? Doesn't matter. Now, I know some things are more difficult than others, but there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And these individuals recognize that. He goes on to say, and I quote, we have helped them to go on and live heterosexual lifestyles with strong and healthy marriages. And so it's really a slander against them to say that this practice is somehow unethical and unharmful. Part of the resolution is you can't even suggest to these individual therapy because that's hate speech. And I would imagine that if someone came to them, that they would have to be very careful how they approach helping them. Mr. Gadman noted again, I quote, it's a foreshadowing of worse things to come, unquote. And that is somewhat prophetic. But it does show us that the Church of Jesus Christ is under attack. And that attack has begun in one of the most liberal states in the Union. We can see the handwriting on the wall of persecution against Christians. Wednesday night I spoke at length about separation of church and state and how it's misconstrued and how we as Baptists, we ought to understand the truth behind the first and even the second amendment today. We need to learn those things. According to a report that I looked at from Christians in crisis, there's an astounding new survey that says every 3 minutes, this is hard to believe. It's hard to assimilate this in your thinking. But their calculations say that every 3 minutes today in the world which we live, a Christian is martyred. Now, I understand there's different definitions of Christians. But still, Christian is one who does claim Christ. I'm not saying they're all born again and Bible believing, but nonetheless, they claim Christ. In nearly 50 countries around the world, did you know it is illegal to profess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And in other countries, it's illegal to possess a Bible. And China is one of them. I know we don't want to hear this. And I'm sure the people in chapter 11 of Hebrews didn't want to hear it either. First century persecution will eventually come to the last century of Christians. Say, I don't believe that. Then you need to read the book of Revelation. Jesus said in Matthew, lest that time be shortened, what did he say? All should perish. Chapter 11 that we have been studying now for months is what some call the Bible's Hall of Faith. And we have looked at men like Enoch and then Noah, great men of faith. Enoch, such a man of faith, he walked with God and he was no more. We want to talk about the rapture. Enoch was most likely the very first raptured soul. And then there was Noah. And what a man that he was. My brother just came back from Kentucky, and he got on the boat. But the boat didn't go anywhere. But anyway, it was a wonderful experience. And he was telling me about how there were so many animals and how they were able to compartmentalize these animals. And I think that's something that people need to see. Because often you'll hear, oh, Noah couldn't fit all those animals on the ark. But if God asked him to do it, then God would provide. And we've learned of Noah. And then we learned of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And last week we studied about Moses. But there are other men and women who dare to step up in the crowd and radically live out their faith in Jehovah. They lived on the edge and they made a difference. And isn't that what God has called us to do? We read that in the book of Jude. God desires for us as saints to make a difference. And they were unashamed. You know why? Because they were sold out for the Lord Jesus. That was a big term used back in the late 70s and 80s. During the great fundamental movement here in America. We don't hear that too much anymore. Are you sold out for the Lord? Jesus Christ did not call you and me to be undercover Christians. That seems to be where we're headed. We're retreating to the closet and every other lifestyle is coming out. Jesus didn't call us to hide our faith under a bushel or apologize for our faith. He called us to be sold out and to be committed to the cause of Christ. And yes, I have to be honest, that may cause you to be persecuted. You know, the author of Hebrews, as he continues in this wonderful chapter of exalting those who lived by faith and died by faith, skips 40 years of Israel's history. Do you know why? It was a faithless period, wasn't it? 40 years of wandering in the wilderness because of their lack of faith. He skips that. Because there's only really two people to mention during that period of history. And that's Joshua and Caleb. And this emphasized the truth that we've highlighted in this chapter. And if you don't go away with anything else, you ought to get away from the study, the thought in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And a lot of people say, oh, I guess I believe in God, or I hope there's a God. God's not going to honor that. Because he says in his word, we have to believe. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And then it tells us that when we do, that God is a rewarder. He rewards those that have faith in him and that diligently seek him. I hope if you don't go away with anything else from this chapter, that you go away with that. Now that being the case, all of us should want to know how we can make our faith better. How we can grow our faith. And the rest of this chapter is about that. And I'm sure if I asked you, would you like to grow in your faith? Would you like to learn some things? Everybody would say yeah. The problem comes when God says, okay, you're done the book learning. Now it's time for real life experience. Right? Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about when God brings those trials and tribulations to grow your faith, because you would never go there. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. Years ago, when my wife and I, we lived in Cherry Hill, we had planted this grape arbor. Or it was a vine, actually. My wife got it from some catalog. And my wonderful job was to plant it. And I did. And it grew a little. But it didn't grow much. I did plant it where it would get plenty of water and sunlight. And, you know, if the plant could talk, it would say, "Oh, I love the sunlight. Oh, I'm getting great amount of water." But I don't think that grape harbor liked it when my dad finally came with his pruning shears. "So what are you doing, Dad? Because that thing's never going to grow. You got to prune it." Now just imagine if that thing could talk as he went there with them pruning shears. "Oh, we got to cut the dead wood." He cut the dead wood off of that, and you know what? That thing grew like you would not believe. I think my wife made a dozen jars of jelly from all the grapes. I won't talk about what Dad made, but anyway. Do you get what I'm saying? There's times that you're going to just absorb what God has. You know, He blesses you with truth. He blesses you with fellowship. But then there's going to be times God's going to send the pruner. You don't want Him, right? But God knows you're not going to grow to the next level. Just like that grape plant, that grape harbor, it didn't grow until Dad came along to prune it. And God sometimes has to do some pruning in our spiritual lives. And so we need to be proactive in four areas that we're going to talk about through this chapter. I'm probably not going to get them all done today. I hope I get done at least two. First one is seen in verse 30, but we have to kind of look a little deeper than just this verse where it says, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they," speaking to the Israelites, "were compassed." That means they walked around of this wall 7 days. And so the first point I want to make is from this verse. You know, other than Joshua and Caleb, every Israelite, 20 years of age and older, their carcasses were left in the wilderness. You go to Numbers chapter 14 and read that chapter, in chapter 26, verse 65, you see where God Himself tells Moses and Aaron, He's not going to allow any of those faithless people, negative people, to go into the promised land. Because they would ruin it. Only their children entered the promised land. Then under the leadership of Joshua, as a result of their faith, those walls fell. And they were victorious in their very first battle to conquer the promised land. To possess the land, they first had to conquer Jericho. It was a fortress city. And I know some of you have studied about it. And by the standards of Joshua's day, the walls of Jericho were considered impregnable. Nobody could breach the walls of Jericho. And you know, God never told them to do that either, did He? There were a number of miracles that happened when the Israelites marched around the wall. Yes, God sometimes has a strange plan for our lives. And we don't understand what in the world is He doing. I'm sure that many of the Israelites wondered what they were doing, just walking around a wall. He tells them to march the army for 7 days. You can read it yourself, Joshua chapter 6. And remember, and I think this is probably the greater miracle, that God tells Joshua to forbid the Israelites to speak as they walk around the wall of Jericho. What? Yeah, no talking. Just walk around the wall. Reminds me of elementary school. We were to walk in procession down the hall, down the street to the church. Remember that, Vito? No talking.
You could shut up.
Certainly. You and I will talk. But imagine that. No talking. I studied this before and I was blown away. No talking? Yeah. God knows. You know, it only takes a few negative or complaining people to discourage the whole bunch. Am I right? If God had allowed them to talk, I can imagine, and I'm sure you can too, that on possibly the second or the third day, one of those Israelites would have got up and said to somebody else, "This is stupid. We're walking around a wall for them. We're not allowed to talk. Shh, no talking. Oh, that's crazy." Then that person would say the same thing eventually to another person until the attitude of negativity spread to everybody. You know what I'm talking about because it happens in church, doesn't it? And if you never noticed that it happens in church, I bet you notice it happens in your workplace, right? Boss comes up with a new idea to help grow the business. And then there are two or three people that when the meeting's all over, they get in the back corner, this ain't going to work. It started spreading negativity. They won't get on board. See, God knows human nature. He's creator of human beings, so certainly he had the right to tell Joshua, tell the people, just be quiet. If you want your faith to grow, I would challenge you to stay away from negative, complaining people. Don't hang around people who always see the problems rather than the possibilities of faith. Because negativism is extremely contagious. You can be easily infected, and that infection can weaken your faith. You know, we ought to realize that God can do the impossible. And that's what he was telling the Israelites. The walls will come down, just trust me. And you know what happened on the seventh day. They still weren't allowed to talk, but they were allowed to blow their instruments, weren't they? They blew the trumpets and down came the walls. And I can just imagine, wow! God's plan works! Just be quiet! There are many Jerichos in our lives. You know what I'm talking about, those impenetrable walls. And people will come along and you'll tell them you're praying about it. That's never going to happen. Stay away from the dream squashers. Amen? Stay away from the vision killers. It's infectious. Go back to Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. At those times, when God challenges our faith, we have to wait on the Lord. What we do is say, "I'm trusting God by faith," and a day or two goes by, God's not doing anything. Kind of goes back to Abraham, doesn't it, and Sarah. God made a promise, but they didn't want to wait. Because often it's much longer than we desire. But we have to understand the nature of God. If God said it, it's going to come to pass. It's just a matter of trusting Him and waiting. And I know that's hard. As we wait, we must have faith in what God has promised. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, listen to this verse, the prophet Isaiah said, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that He may be gracious unto you, and therefore will be exalted, that He may have mercy upon you. The Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they," listen, "blessed are they that wait for Him." I want you to take that thinking back to the Israelites. What would have happened if negativity spread through the Israelites marching around the walls and they all quit? They would have not seen the hand of the Lord. And I know that had to be difficult. You know, one day without talking, but no, 2 days, 3 days, 6 days. And finally the Lord worked. To make your faith grow, stay away from negativity, because God is a great and awesome God He can do anything. I wish I had time to move into the second point, but we have communion today. And so I'm gonna stop there, but I'm gonna ask that all of us just bow our heads right now. Let's apply what we learned in this first point to our lives. Father, this is a critical point in this chapter, and you know that is true for our lives. We ask you, Lord, to increase our faith often, and then we don't want to apply what you teach us. And we're not willing to accept the challenges that you give us. God, change our hearts then, that we will trust you, not with just the easy things that help us to grow, but the difficult things. And Father, I know there are people in our church who are going through very difficult and trying times. And we look at it as you challenging and strengthening their faith. May they see that, accept that, and trust you completely. And Lord, if there's someone here who has never placed their faith and trust in you as Savior, I pray that they will right now acknowledge that they are a sinner. And as a sinner, they must be saved from their sin. For you are a holy God, and you cannot look upon sin. May they understand Christ died in their place, that you, our Heavenly Father, would see the righteousness of the Lord Jesus and accept them when they die into the kingdom of heaven. So, Lord, if there is one or others among us, may they, by faith, accept your love and the provision you made for them to come to eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now, Father, those of us who are believers, we want to show you our love for you and our appreciation as we participate at the Lord's Supper, remembering the death of our Savior and the cost of our salvation. We ask it in His name. Amen. I'm going to ask our deacons if they'll come prepare the table. And while they do that, you prepare your heart. If you're saved and you've been baptized, you should participate in the communion. If you do not have something at all with others, then you should participate. But if you do, you should wait and take care of that matter and then come to the table of the Lord.